The book of Joel, chapter number 2, for study number 29. And let's start reading this morning in Joel chapter 2 and verse 19, please. And we'll read two verses. The Bible said, Joel chapter 2, verse 19, "Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things." Amen. And we'll stop reading there. Now looking at that, you say, what in the world's going on? Remember, Joel is a prophetic book. It's prophecy. Now, if you take that out of context with that, you're going to miss the entire book. And I've been stressing that as I've come across this book. And we know also that verses 18 through the remainder of the chapter, really, there is a little pause in there, some other things involved. But this is something that's going to take place because of the repentance that has happened in verses number 12 through verses number 17. And we saw that the first part of chapter number 2 is a picture of the tribulation hour after the saints of God have been called out in the rapture of the church, and how this locust plague of chapter 1 is an indication of what's going to take place, and it's a forerunner of chapter 2. Now, what is the theme of the book of Joel? The day of the Lord. Remember that. The day of the Lord will take place when? Right after the rapture of the church takes place and the saints of God are called out. And God begins to revert and work back with the Jews. Right today we're in the day of the Gentiles. We're Gentiles and God's working the church. Remember, Joel did not see the church. I'm trying to give you some things in here to understand this. Now it's one of these lessons we want them to stand alone anyhow. And so we find in the book of Joel, chapter number 2, that it's a type of the tribulation hour, and the saints of God, in this particular case, the people of God, the Jew, is getting right with God, and he's repenting, he's getting right. And then in verse number 18, that's the reason verse number 18 starts with the word then. You see that word then? It means then. What? Right after you repent and the things are taking place. We talked about that last week. But there's some things I want to point out. And we're going to go get this, and then we're going to back up and forth in verse 19. I don't know how far we'll get into it, but we're going to go a little as far as we can go. Verse 19 starts off with a little word called yea. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We'll see that. But it said, "Yea, the Lord will answer." Now, I want to talk about the will of the Lord. You see that word will? This is important. I got to look at this thing, and it's important. I want to point out some things about this. I want to point the wills of the Lord in chapter number 2. You don't find the will of the Lord much mentioned in chapter 1. You find the word will mentioned, or that the people will call, the people will do, and so forth. But we don't get the wills of God until we get to verse 18. Actually, the first one is in verse 18. Then will the Lord. That's the first one. It's mentioned in verse number 18. What will He do? He will be a jealous God, be jealous for His land. And in other words, He'll take them to Himself. He's talking about the Jew now. And God will have pity His people. In other words, He said that He's going to have some compassion for them. He's going to turn to them. Now, we're in the day of the Gentiles, I said, but God will revert and work back with the Jew again. The Jew's not over. The Jew's not done. Remember Wednesday night we talked about the 70 weeks. The 1 week is still open. Amen. And God's going to deal with them. Now, verse 19. The second will. Yea, the Lord will what? Will answer. You see, He's going to answer their prayers. He's going to answer what they've been crying for so long. And the Jew is crying out to God. He really don't know where he's at. The Jew don't today. He don't understand the things. He does not accept the New Testament. He pushes it to the side. He takes the Word of God in the Old Testament. He's still looking for Messiah to come. He's still looking for a king. He's still looking for a throne. He's still looking for a kingdom. That's what the Jew is doing. He is an earthly people with an earthly promise. That's what the Jew is. And so today he's looking for that. Yea, the Lord will answer. And then go on and say unto his people, behold, and here's another one, I will. Now God's given some I wills. God's given some promises. When God makes an I will, it will come to pass. Amen. It will. Nothing God says will be thrown asunder and laid aside. It will come to pass. God said, I will send you corn. God said, number one, I'll be jealous of you. Number two, I will answer you. And number three, I'll send you some corn. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And so down in the last part of the verse, the last sentence says, I will no more make you a reproach. So God's going to do something for them there. That's the next I will. You see that? And God's going to will it. Now in verse number 20, we want to look at some of these as we go through. And get them in and they're in order. It's amazing how these come out in order. But I will remove far from you the northern army. God said, I'll take the northern army away from you in verse number 20. And we'll drive him out. God said, I'll drive him out of the land. And then in verse number 21, he said, the Lord will do great things. So they haven't, in other words, he's promising something you hadn't seen before. It's going to take place. You can just rest assured it's going to take place. And then in verse number 23, in the middle part of the verse, he said, and he will cause to come down from you the rain. God said, I'll send you rain on your crops. Well, this is the time of when God's going to restore Israel and restore the Jews. And he's even talking about in some of this, you'll find the millennium, how that God's going with the kingdom and how he's going to establish these things for them. In verse number 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. In other words, I'll restore everything that you've lost. And God said, I'm going to make you a different people. God said, I'm going to change something. Things are going to change for the Jew. You see it here in the book of Joel, don't you? He's promising this all the way through. You don't catch this. We're going verse by verse, so I'm catching it, and we're coming back to it later. And then in verse number 28, you'll find, he said in the middle of it, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You see that? And then in verse 29, he said again, will I pour out my Spirit? God said, I'm going to put the Spirit of God back upon you. Amen. Now, a lot of people talk about this in this day, and they refer to this verse as the day of Pentecost. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the Jew. He's talking about his people. You got to get that right. Amen. We're going on down. Because I know he uses that over in the book of Acts in chapter 2. He talks about it and refers to it. But this is not the actual thing. Now, in verse number 30, he said, I will show wonders in the heavens. God said he's going to show that. Of course, this is toward the end of the tribulation. And then he goes back and forth. God does that throughout the scriptures of the tribulation. And then we'll find in chapter 3, I'm going to give them to you. In chapter number 3, verse number 2, I will also gather all nations. He'll gather them. And he said, and will bring them down on the valley of Jehoshaphat. This is talking about, you'll find this taking place. This will be the where they have the battle of Armageddon. And will plead with them. God said, I'm going to do this to your enemies. I'm going to call them out. I'm going to bring them down. And I'm going to plead with them. You see what he's doing there? And that's in chapter number 3 and verse number 2. And then we come down to verse number 4. The last part of that verse, he said, will I return your recompense upon your own head? God said, I'm going to turn things back around. I'm going to give you what you deserve, what you need, what you want. I'm going to give it back to you. What you've done, I'm going to turn your recompense. I'm going to turn it back on you. And then in verse number 7, he said, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them. It's talking about their children and so forth. And he said in verse 7, we'll return your recompense upon your own head. God said, I'm going to straighten out things and bring back your sons and your daughters. And then he said in verse number 8, I'll sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of Judah. And we'll talk about that when we get to that verse. And then in verse number 12, he's going to say, let the heathen be wakened. And the last part, for there will I sit to judge. See, now he's going to take the throne ship. He's going to sit to judge the heathen. God said, I'm going to bring judgment upon them. And then in verse number 16, he says in that, he said, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. Hey, who's going to be the hope? The Lord. He's the one. And then in verse number 21, he said, for I will cleanse their blood that I have cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. God said, I'm going to clean it all up. So if you look at the wills of God, and you probably didn't pick up on that when you was reading it, but the wills of God, God's got some things. See, God wants the best for His people, does He not? And so He's got them. So He begins to tell us in verse number 19 what He's going to do with the people of God and for the people of God. Now let's go back a minute into verse 19 and catch that word, yea. That's a word that I've looked up and seen and bypassed a few times already out of the book of Joel, because it's used in a different sense here than it was the others. Now that word yea simply means yes, but it's got a little emphasis on it. Amen. So he's saying, then will the Lord, in verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yea, or yes. You see that? He's got it there. Yes. The Lord will answer and say of His people. In other words, God's going to take charge. Now, remember, this is after the repentance. He's dealing with the people of God. He's dealing with the Jew. Keep that in your mind. And as we begin to look at this thing, yea. Now, that denotes a positive. It's with certainty. It means it's with consistency. It means it's with harmony. God said this has got some stability to it. It's, in other words, that little word yea means this is something you can count on. You can take this to the bank. You got it? That's what the Lord said, yea. When God says yea, now what did the devil do? One of the first words he said was to Eve, yea, hath God said. In other words, but now he don't have the emphasis that God has. Amen. When the devil says it, it's different. And he's doing it for wrong things. And God says, yea. In other words, you can count on this. What I say will come to pass. And so he's given this to us, and we're looking at it. Now, we want to look at it a little closer, if you will. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 16. That word's in there. It's not the meat cut off from before, or cut off before our eyes. Yea, or yes. Joy and gladness from the house of our God. Yep. That's yes with a positive with some extra add-ons. That's what he's doing. Especially. Yeah, the joy. Yeah. That's what we'd say today. Yeah, the joy and the gladness is gone from the house of God. You see? And so that's a word that tries to get our attention. God don't just put words in there to fill up space. And then verse 18 of chapter 1. How do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Yeah. Look at these things. It's positive. It's there. And then in chapter 2, in verse number 3, he said, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Now he's talking about the tribulation out here. We dealt with that when we was in the first part of the second chapter. And you're seeing how that this is going to come up on the Jews after the rapture of the church. And you're seeing that there. And then in verse 19, it's mentioned here as we were reading it. And then in chapter number 3, in verse number 4, he starts off again and says, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? So God's trying to get their attention with that word, yea. And so it's in there, placed in there for a purpose. So he said, yea, the Lord. Now I like that, the Lord. I like that. Now I saved this for now. I could have already done this and went through it. But I want to go back this morning and point out some things. And how many times, can you remember, how many times that the word Joel is mentioned in the book of Joel? Can somebody remember what I said? I'll try and do a little review. How many times is the name Joel mentioned in the book of Joel? One time. Don't forget it now. Some of you done forgot it. We went over that in the first chapter, and it's mentioned in the first chapter and the first verse. So he's showing us that the book is not about Joel. It's just showing us that Joel wrote the book of Joel and that God has inspired him to write the word. But who is the central person of the book of Joel? The Lord. All right, Joel, we will take that. Amen. The Lord. He's the central theme, or not the theme, the theme of it is the day of the Lord. But the central person of the book of Joel is Jesus or the Lord, amen, or Jehovah, just like He's the central of every book of the Bible. Amen. Even though the book of Esther does not mention the name God, it's still about God. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You know, in these days, it's just a blessing to me. This week, I sat down and read a book by a fella that back in the 1400s, a man by the name of Thomas Kempis. I don't know where anybody ever heard of Thomas Kempis. And Imitation of Christ. How many has ever heard that or maybe read it? And that book is, what, 600 years old. And here we are. And I read that book and it blessed me. I've read it before in portions. But I sat down and said, they didn't have chapters. Had part one, part two, part three, part four. That's how they used to do it. And matter of fact, I was reading it and it was so much a blessing to my soul. I began to read it and I said, Lord, thank you for allowing somebody 600 years ago to write something that's helped me in 2012. How about that? And then the Holy Ghost said, well, that ain't nothing. I give you 66 books that's older than that book. Amen. And they bless you too. And I said, amen. And I just had to say, all right, we'll go on. So God's given us a book, and isn't it good that God has preserved His Word to do so much for us? I love God's book. I really do. And I like to read after these old preachers, and amazing to me, a lot of them would take off with it, and some of them never even... I was reading another a fellow, he was in the 1400s. Well, he was in the 1500s, excuse me. He was in the 1500s, and I read a little message of him, and it was a blessing. I said, that's good. And I went down through it, and he only used a thought, and he took off with it. He had no scriptures at all in the sermon. And I read the whole thing, and I said, well, everything he said... Now, he referred to the scriptures all the way through. He used little portions of every... I thought, where in the world did he get all this? Back in the 1500s, they didn't have all the encyclopedias and the commentaries and didn't have all the footnotes in the Bibles and didn't have all the fancy things, and they didn't have the scripture knowledge and what I'm talking about, the books that give concordances and all. They didn't have all that. They didn't have it all. And how did they get it? But he was using verses after verses, just portions of verses. He didn't write them out, didn't say them out. He just quoted a little verse, a portion of a verse. Just take little words and portions of phrases out of verses through the Bible and applied them. Never used any, no reference. It didn't even have no reference in the sermon at all. And I read that. And I looked at that and I said, why, I don't know where he's using the King James, not all what he was quoting was. And then God pointed it out to him, where are you getting 1611 King James in the 1500s? Amen. What about that? And so I woke up. I tell you, we can be helped. Amen. And I thank God for Him helping us with the Word of God. And isn't it wonderful? But now, looking at it, the theme is the day of the Lord, but the character, main character of this book is the Lord. Now, I'm going to point this out. This may take a little lengthy time, but it's important. You'll find in chapter 1 and verse number 1, mark these as you go, and we may skip some of them, but I'm going to try to get them all, and not trying to take up time, but this is important. You'll find either the word the Lord or, O Lord, mentioned in every one of these verses that I'm going to point out. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of the Lord. You see it? And then in verse 9, you go on down to verse 9. He said, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. He wants to recognize that. And then we get to verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord, your God, and cry unto the Lord. He got it twice in that verse, you see. And then in verse number 15, alas, for the day of the Lord. You see that? And he mentioned him again down at the part of it, he said from the Almighty. He's mentioned there too, but not as the Lord or O Lord. And so you see that in verse 19, O Lord, see, he said to thee, will I cry, And that's in chapter number 1. Now in chapter number 2, it starts off with verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord, you see, cometh, for it is nigh at hand. You said, preacher, why are you major on them little words? Those words are put in there for a purpose. God put them in there for us to see. And He wants us to look at them. I don't believe there's a word in the Bible God put in to just to take up space. God wasn't writing the thesis. And He wasn't trying to write certain words and a certain amount of words to gain attention or to get a degree. Amen, like some of us do sometimes. But what He was doing, He was writing everything He wanted us to have. Thank God for it. Amen. In verse 9 of chapter 2, they shall run to and fro in the city, you see. I got that verse number 14. And it's supposed to be verse number 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord. You see that? So there it is. He's got that. And then we find it also in verse number 17. I think verse 13's got it too. Excuse me. Did I skip one? 11. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Verse 11's got the Lord. And verse number 13, verse number 12's got it. The Lord. See it? Verse number 13 is the Lord. And my Bible's marked up. I can't even keep up with what I got. Verse number 17. You'll find the word the Lord or O Lord. One time the Lord and next time O Lord in that verse. And it goes on and on. Verse 18 has got it. You see it? Verse 19, where we started. Verse number 21, it said the Lord, you see. Verse number 23. Verse number 26. Verse number 27. Verse number 31. You got it? And verse number 32. So that's the second chapter. Look how many times the word Lord is mentioned in the second chapter. Then the third chapter. In the third chapter is verse 8 and verse 11. I give them to you and jot them down. And verse number 14 and verse number 16. And that's twice in verse number 16. And then in verse number 17, verse 18, and then in verse number 21. That's the Lord, our O Lord. And if you'll count those up, you'll find out that it comes to a total of 32 times. How many chapters in Joel? Three. You know it by now. How many verses are there? 73. What about that? And out of that 73 verses, it's mentioned 32 times. So quite a few times. So you see the central figure and the central theme is the day of the Lord, but the central person is the Lord. Now he's going back to verse 19. Yea, the Lord. Now this is important. The Lord. Who's the Lord? He's the one who has made heaven and earth. And he's trying to get those Jews to see that. The Lord. Joel said, hey, look. Yea, the Lord. Hey, sometimes we get to looking at it. You know, we get our churches and sometimes we forget the Lord. Even in our churches. Listen, we come and worship. We can start the service. We can sing. We can go out and say we worshiped him when we really haven't worshiped. Who's the central theme and figure of the Lord of the church today here? That's right. And that's what we come for. You didn't come to see the preacher. Didn't come to see each other. We didn't come to see the family. We come to see the Lord. Amen. And we need to see Him high and lifted up. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I see the Lord. And none of us in here have seen the Lord. Amen. No man has seen the Lord. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We could not stand it if we saw, amen, the Lord in His fullness. And we'll talk about that later. Some other things there. Now, verse 19. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people. Now, He's talking to His people. Who's His people in this case? It's the Jew. Jerusalem. Israel. Now He's talking to them. Now we're His people too. Don't get me out of context. I'm not taking the word out. But remember, Joel is a Jewish book to the Jewish people. Amen. Because the Gentiles were not in power. The Gentiles were not considered here. They were still considered dogs. Amen. We weren't drafted in until we get to the New Testament. Correct? Right. Got to keep all our our stuff in mind and get we got to rightly divide the scriptures. But now, just because it says His people, we are His people too. Amen. We're His people in this day of grace. And but He's particularly talking here in verse number 19 as the Jew. Now, He said, "Behold, I will send." Now, He said, "I will send you corn and wine and oil." Now, it's important that we see these three things. God said, "I'm going to send you something." Now you're repenting, you've got right, and I'm going to will be a jealous God to you. I'm going to have compassion and sympathy for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to treasure you. And I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to give you what your requests are. What has been their request? They're without corn, they're without oil, and they're without wine. Chapter 1, the locusts has eaten everything, remember? Now, it has affected their spiritual life because they could not go to the house of God any longer and offer a meal offering or a meat offering. Amen. They couldn't offer that because they had no corn, no wheat, nothing to make the flour. So they couldn't do it. They had nothing to offer the drink offering because the grapes are gone. The locusts have eaten the grapes and now they have nothing to give as a drink offering. And the meat offering, and then the wine, then the oil, the oil is the olive tree's been eaten up, remember it? And the oil represents here the joy of God and the blessing of God, and and remember the joy of the Lord's gone from the church, from the house in chapter 1. Of course, they didn't have a church like we do today. We're in this day of grace, and this is the way we worship. But back there, they had temples and places they went to. And they had done the sacrifice. We don't do that because Jesus is our supreme sacrifice. The sacrifice has been given. But now when we look at this in the book of Joel, we're finding this morning that he said, I'm going to give you something you've been praying for. You've been praying for corn. You've been praying for wine and oil. And those are the essentials of life. That's what he's saying. He's saying to them, I'm going to give you your physical needs and I'm also going to give you your spiritual needs. I'm going to take care of you. In other words, that's your sustenance. That's going to keep you going. We've got to have food and water, have we not? Amen. Hey, we have. We have to have something to eat, something to drink. And that's still not good enough. Man, still got to have a spirituality with God. Right. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people walking on the face of the earth that's got plenty to eat and plenty to drink. Matter of fact, they got more than they need to eat and more than they have to need to drink. Ain't that right? But they're walking on the earth as dead men, not happy because they just haven't just that taken care of. So man needs another thing. He needs not only physical bread and water to keep him going physically, but he needs the touch of God in his life to keep him going spiritually. Amen. Some of us have the bread and the water, amen, from the Lord, but we don't have the joy of God. The joy of the Lord's gone. Amen. And we can't sing the Lord's song in the strange land. And we done hung our harps up in the willow trees. And we got too involved in the world and we don't have the joy of God. But that's another message. Amen. And we can talk about that another time. But we look at the Word of God here. And we can see He's given them corn. He's given them wine. And He's given them oil. Now, I want to point this out. It's already mentioned in chapter 1 and verse number 10, just by way of review. Chapter 1 and verse number 10. He said, the field is wasted, the land mourneth for the what? Corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. It's gone. Now, that's the verse, remember, that's gone. I'm telling you, that God said, I'm going to give this all back to you. So those three are mentioned there. And then in verse number 17 of chapter 1, the seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down for the corn. Is withered. That's how that they made their bread and so forth. And it's gone. They don't have anything. The sustenance is gone. And so it's mentioned that not only do they have nothing for the bread to eat to keep them physically going, but they don't have anything to offer God. See in verse 9, chapter 1, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off. You see? They don't have no meat. That meat, of course, we went through that. The meat offering in the Bible is flour and bread. Or a meal, and so it's not. It's actually a meal offering, and it's actually not meat at all. It's if you go back to the book of Leviticus, we went through that when we was there. That is what they used to make this offering before God. Same thing you'll find about the wine throughout it. This is for the drink offering. And the oil, those three things have been taken away. Now, there's something else in verse 19. We can spend some more time there, but let's look in verse 19. Time's about got us, and it looks like verse 19 is all we're going to get. He said, "And I will no more." Well, he said, and ye shall be satisfied therewith." They're not satisfied today. The Jews are not satisfied. They're not. They don't know which way they're going. Then look at the last part. "And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen." That's what the Lord's going to do. He's not going to, they're a reproach. Do you know the Jew in all my lifetime has been a reproach to many lands? They've been a reproach. Amen. And they laugh about them. They make fun of them. They look at them. And they forsake them. Jokes made about them. People despise the Jew. You shouldn't. Amen. And surely you don't. But I'm telling you that nations despise the Jews. Leaders of our land despise the Jews. They are a reproach to most people. Those folks over there in their land, they would like to see them destroyed. They don't think they have any right to live on the face of the earth. We have people like Hitler that thought the same thing. And people like that. And so God said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to fix you where you're no longer going to be sneered at. You're no longer going to be laughed at. You're no longer going to be taken for granted. You're no longer going to be made fun of. You're going to become my people. And you're going to be somebody." God said, "I'm going to take you. You're not going to be reproachful." There will be a time when Israel will be in the top limelight of the universe. It hasn't happened in our day. It hasn't happened in days before us. They've been reproached. And brother, I want you to know, God said, "I'm going to straighten this thing out." So if you've got any thought at all about the Word of God, remember the Jews are going to come out on top of this thing when it's all said and done. Amen. Them little Jews. I think about them, they amaze me. I hear them talking today in the news, and I hear them saying things, and they're saying things that they really don't even know what they're saying, but they're saying it according to what the Word says. And they're pulling it. They'll talk about God in a sense, you know, but they don't know Him like you and I know Him, and they don't recognize Jesus Christ as a Savior. That's right. But you know what? They've got it. They're going to be that little old land that they think. Most nations think that they can go over there with a bulldozer and push that thing into the sea and forget the Jews. Right. They think that they've been trying to shake them up and scare them and throwing them bombs over there for a long time, and they think them Jews, one of these days, are going to give up and quit. They're going to kill them off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time. And they've done a good job trying to do all that. But I got news for you. They're going to blossom like a rose. And them Jews are going to multiply. They're going to be like it was in the first chapter of the book of Exodus. Amen. When they have given birth to them Jews and them midwives, and Pharaoh couldn't do nothing about it, and they were multiplied. And them Jews are going to multiply one day. God's going to raise that nation up. Amen? Amen. Going to happen. And He said, "I'll make you no longer a reproach among the who? Heathen." That's who today it is, refuses them. God said that. So that's pretty well covered verse 19. We could say some more things, but we'll hold it there and go on next week. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the goodness of God, for watching over us and caring for us. Have Your own way in our heart and life. Touch the remainder of the service. And Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for what You're going to accomplish in this remaining part of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.